God of the promise, God of the future, you see beginning and end. God of the rescue, God of the break, how great is your faithfulness. You're not done yet. No eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, no one could ever comprehend. Your word will be enough, your promise we will trust. Greater things are still ahead. You're not done yet. You're not done yet. God in my seeking, God in my dreaming, you put a song in my soul. God in the working, God I'm believing, you'll do the impossible. Your glory come down. Don't hold back, don't hold back, 'cause you're up to something right now. You're doing a new thing right now. God, let your glory come down. Don't hold back, don't hold back. You're moving mountains right now. You're breaking chains right now. And God, let your glory come down. Don't hold back, don't hold back. No eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, no one can ever comprehend. Your word will be enough, your promise we will trust.
Well, we serve a great and awesome God, don't we? And he has made a beautiful day. I'm wondering why we're in here instead of out there, but I'm glad that we're gathered as a church. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Squam Community Church. Great to see you. As we prepare our hearts for worship, I wanted to read Psalm 126, verse 2. And this is a psalm that is in reference to the Israelites and how the Lord brought them out of so many amazing things, and he did miracle after miracle for them. It says, "Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them." And the Lord has done great things for us, too. And this morning, we get to celebrate communion and remember that sacrifice, the greatest thing that he has done for us. So let's worship together this morning.
Broken at your feet.
every breath is an offering. My heart cries, these lungs sing over you, my worthy King of Kings.
Yeah. So there it is.
There it is, alabaster cross, giving all you are.
Came running, there was mercy.
Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we give you all honor, all glory, all praise. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you deserve all of our hearts, all of our love, all of our adoration. Lord, we thank you for making a way for us. We thank you for redeeming us. And Lord, we confess to you that maybe this week we haven't loved you with our whole hearts. Maybe we haven't honored you in the ways that we ought to. Would you forgive us? Would you bring refreshing in our hearts and in our lives this morning? And Lord, we remember and we lift up those in our church and in our community who are sick and who are having surgery and going through difficult times. And Father, we just ask that you would be with them, that you would be a present help in time of trouble and time of need. And Lord, as we turn our hearts to you this morning, would you enable us to listen? Would you enable us to hear from you? We love you, Lord, and we give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, well, I am Keith Sandell. I'm the youth director here at Squim Community Church, and we have some great things happening here at SCC. So, first off, speaking of youth, we have our youth mission sale. It is this Friday and Saturday from 10 to 2. We're doing it a little bit different this year with COVID and kind of restrictions we have, so it's going to be more like a yard sale. So we have a bunch of items donated. You can come in Friday, Saturday for those 4 hours, look around, see what you want, buy it, and then take it home with you. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, oh, I have some items I want to donate, but isn't the deadline today? You know, the deadline is today, but I did talk to the youth director. He's a tough guy, but he did say that if you want to turn it in tomorrow, that will be okay too. You still have some items you'd like to donate. Speaking of fundraisers, we have a very exciting project coming up here at SCC, and I'm super excited that I'm the one who gets to announce it. So we are going to be doing some renovations. It is called Refreshing God's House. You all might not know this, but that building over there is 30 years old, which means it's as old as I am. So we are going to be doing some renovations over there, a few renovations over here. We're changing out the carpet in the sanctuary in that building. We're redoing the bathrooms and the kitchen. Over here, we're going to put some windows in some of the offices, and we are going to redo the roof on the kids' portable so, you know, our kids don't have to sit in the rain. They haven't had to do that yet, but with your donation, they definitely won't have to do that. So it's called Refreshing God's House. You can donate online or on your check. Just write that in the memo line. We also have, for all of our age groups, we have small groups, we have Bible studies, some of them virtual, some of them in person. So if you want to get involved, we'd love to have you. All right, now we're going to have our scripture reader, Jim Spriney. He's going to be reading from Mark chapter 8.
Good morning. I'll be reading from Mark 8, verses 22 to 25. When they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Then, spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything now?" The man looked around. "Yes," he said, "I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around." Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly.
Would you please join me in prayer before we get into the sermon time? Gracious King and Creator, we just thank you so much that you give us this opportunity to worship you. And God, I know we came in today with a lot of things in our hearts and our minds. Things we need to do, appointments, stresses, worries. But God, we just ask that while we're here, that we'd be able to give our whole hearts to you, that we give our full attention to what you want to say. And now, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be a pleasing offering to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I want to start the sermon off with a bit of a confession. And this might change the way you view me, but here goes. I just feel like I really need to get this off my chest. I think camping is weird. Is there anyone else out there who thinks camping's weird? Like, just not their thing? A couple people, okay. I asked that at a 9 o'clock service, nobody raised their hand. So either they really like camping or they weren't paying attention. I'm not sure which. You know, when I say I'm roughing it, I mean I'm staying at a 2-star hotel. I just feel like our ancestors worked really hard so that we don't have to camp, so that we can live in a house and have a bed and have a shower, those sort of things. And, you know, if camping's your thing, this is not to say anything against you as a person or as a Christian, but maybe you need to look in the mirror and acknowledge you're a little bit strange. I'm just kidding, it's just a joke. Please don't tell Scott in a few weeks when you see him, Keith called us strange in his sermon, even though you all are. Just kidding, campers. But all jokes aside, I think the reason I find camping weird is because it's uncomfortable for me. You know, I like having a bed, I like having a shower, I like having a cup of coffee in the morning. But I will admit, there have been times where I've gone camping and I've seen some amazing things. I've had some amazing experiences. Experiences where I've connected to other people or to nature. Experiences of seeing beautiful waterfalls and mountains. Experiences of feeling closer to God. And I only got these powerful moments because I went through something that was uncomfortable, that was a bit weird. And I find this scripture passage to be the same way. Like, if we're honest, it's a little bit strange. I mean, why does Jesus spit in this guy's eyes? Why does this man only get a partial healing to begin with? This all seems a little bit weird. And this weirdness can leave us feeling uneasy. When there's not a simple interpretation, we can feel uncomfortable. But sometimes, when we embrace the weirdness, when we embrace the discomfort, that's when we get to see some amazing things. And there are some amazing things to see in this passage. This passage shows us power and healing come from Jesus, and it comes over a period of time. This passage shows us that power and healing come from Jesus. So let's dive into these scripture verses. In this story, Jesus heals a man by spitting in his eyes and then laying his hands on him. And if you're anything like me, you might wonder yourself, well, like, why does Jesus do this? I mean, this seems kind of outlandish. Why doesn't Jesus heal this man in a more normal way? Well, Jesus does it this way, and Mark includes this detail to clearly show us there's no formula, there's no normal ways to do miracles. You know, if we look through the Gospels, we see Jesus heals people in a lot of different ways. In some instances, Jesus lays his hands on a person. In other stories, Jesus just speaks, and the person is healed. In one story, Jesus isn't even in the same town as somebody, but he declares that person is healed, and they're healed. In one of my favorites, Jesus rebukes a fever. Like, think about how crazy it is that Jesus scolds the sickness out of somebody. And here's the broad takeaway from the variety of ways miracles occur. Jesus works in different ways to show us where the healing comes from. Jesus works in different ways to show us where the healing comes from. You see, if Jesus healed the same way every time, it would be really easy for us to go, ah, I know why Jesus can do miracles. It's because he knows the right technique. He knows the right formula. He knows the right magic words to say. He knows how to wave his hands, and that's where the power comes from. But Jesus' miracles happen in all different ways to show us that power and healing, it doesn't come from knowing the right formula. It doesn't come from knowing the right technique. It comes from God. It comes from Jesus himself. And this is something we need to be mindful of in our spiritual lives. We have to be careful to not get so caught up in figuring out the formula that we miss the person we're communicating with. So, for example, maybe this applies to your devotions. It's a great idea every day to connect with God. But sometimes we can get too caught up in the formula. We say, I have to do my devotions the correct way. I have to do my devotions the same way every single day. And eventually it becomes repetitious, rote, and stale. So if that's the case, change it up. Read a different book of the Bible. Go for a walk and spend time with God in nature. Just sit before God in silence. And of course, there can be advantages to repetition, but there's also strengths in variety. Or another great example might be prayer. You know, God doesn't hear our prayers because we fold our hands. God doesn't hear our prayers because we close our eyes. God doesn't hear our prayers because we know to say amen at the end. God hears our prayers because that's who God is. And there's reasons why we close our eyes, why we fold our hands, why we say amen, but that's not what makes our prayers work. And there are times where maybe you don't close your eyes. Maybe if you're walking in nature and you want to see God's creation as you're praying to Him. Maybe there are times where you don't say amen at the end of your prayers, if you're going to be continually talking to God throughout the day. Maybe there are times where you don't fold your hands, like if you're driving. You know, I know we want Jesus to take the wheel, but let's go for that more in a metaphorical sense. And this is what Jesus means when He says we should go to God like children. When a kid sees something or someone they love, they're going straight for it. Like, they're running as fast as they can to get to that thing. Like, if a kid sees a bar of chocolate, you better hope you're not standing between that kid and the bar of chocolate, or you're getting run over. If a kid sees a relative or a friend they care about, they're running to go get a hug. Children don't slowly get out of their chairs and make sure they're all put together and their hair's in the right way and their clothes are all looking good and everything. No, they're moving as fast as they can to get to that thing they love. And that's the attitude God wants from us. He wants us to be like children running towards Him. And there's nothing wrong with being refined in our prayers or devotions. But more than anything else, God wants our heart. God always prefers passion over polished, substance over style. So when you encounter God, the key is not to get the formula right. It's not to pray or do devotions in the correct way. The key is to be honest, to run towards the God that you love. So healing and power comes from Jesus, and it can come in stages. Jesus healing this man by spitting in his eyes is not the only strange thing about this passage. I mean, let's just take a look at what happens at the end. Then spitting on the man's eyes, Jesus laid his hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything now?" The man looked around. "Yes," he said, "I can see people, but I can't see them very, very clearly. They look like trees walking around." Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened. His sight was completely restored, and he can see everything clearly. Now you might wonder yourself, like I did when I first read this passage, like, what's going on here? Why does Jesus have to heal this person twice? Like, was Jesus not at his full power the first time around? Like, maybe Jesus didn't sleep well the night before, or he's had a really busy week, or he didn't get his cup of coffee in the morning, and that's why he had to do the miracle twice. And, you know, if it were someone like me, I understand this, because when I'm tired, I'm not feeling at my best, I got to do everything two or three times. It takes me two or three attempts to accomplish anything. Opening jars, making photocopies, walking upstairs. Honestly, for me, one of the biggest blessings of living in Squim is there aren't any stairs anywhere. Have you guys noticed that? There's like no stairs in town. It is amazing. Because I got winded just walking up here to give my sermon. But while it might take me a couple of times to do anything when I'm tired, I don't think that's what's happening here. And we get a good clue at what's going on when we continue reading in these verses. When we continue to go through the chapter. These are the verses that occur right after this miracle, and it's some of the most important verses in the book of Mark. It goes like this. Jesus and his disciples left Galilee and they went up to the villages near Caesarea Philippi. As they were walking along, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say you're one of the prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter replied, "You're the Messiah." Then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man, the Messiah, must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later, he would rise from the dead. As he was talking openly with the disciples, Peter took him aside and began to scold him for saying such things. Jesus looked around, and saying to Peter, he reprimanded him, "Get away from me, Satan. You are seeing things merely from a human's point of view, not from God's." So Mark includes these two stories, and Jesus does the miracle in this way to show a parallel, comparing the blind man to the disciples. The blind man in the story, at first, only received a partial healing. He saw the world as out of focus, blurry, fuzzy. He could see stuff, but not super clearly. But it was when he was healed again that he saw everything perfectly. And in the same way, the disciples' vision, their knowledge, their understanding of Jesus at this point in the Gospels has only been partially healed. Peter recognizes Jesus as the Messiah, so he's starting to see the whole picture, but it's fuzzy, it's hazy. When Jesus tells his disciples that he's going to have to go to the cross, he's going to have to suffer and die, Peter's like, Jesus, that's not what you're going to do. Suffer and die, why would you do that? The disciples recognize Jesus as the Messiah in this passage, but they don't recognize the kind of Messiah he has to be. They have a blurred picture of Jesus, and it won't be until the end of the Gospels that their vision will be completely healed, that their eyes will be totally opened. And I love this passage because it illustrates how our spiritual journeys often work. We make progress in stages, in steps. You know, a lot of us, myself included, we want to experience change immediately. We want to come to Jesus and be healed once and for all, like have all our problems taken away, to have a clear understanding of faith, to be mature, and boom, that is it. And sometimes, Jesus does work this way. He works instantaneously. Sometimes, God does take away our problems in a moment, or he causes us to grow in a split second. Sometimes, that's what happens. But that's not usually how it happens. God more often works like he does in this passage. He works in stages. He works in steps. Healing and growth and knowledge and maturity occur when we have continual encounters with Jesus. The more we experience Jesus in our lives, the more we're going to grow into the kind of people he wants us to be. I want to end my sermon with a quote from one of the greatest Christians of the past century, Billy Graham. Billy Graham says this, "The Christian life is not a constant high. I have had my moments of deep discouragement. I have to go to God in prayer with tears in my eye and say, 'Oh God, forgive me,' or 'Oh Jesus, help me.'" You know, Billy Graham, one of the giants of the faith, had to go to Jesus to be encouraged, to be healed, to continue on in the spiritual journey. I think that's something we're all going to have to do as well. The Christian life is a journey, and it's a journey where we're going to stumble, we're going to fall, we're going to make mistakes. It's a journey where we're going to continually need the power and healing and grace of Jesus again and again and again. So my encouragement to you all would be keep coming back to Jesus. If you're not where you want to be, if you're stressed, that's okay. Come back to Jesus. If you feel anxious or depressed, if you feel like life is just out of control, that's okay. Keep coming back to Jesus. If you don't have a clear picture of what the future holds, you don't have a clear picture of what is happening now in life, that's okay. Just come back to Jesus. And when you come to Jesus, don't worry about having the perfect technique. Don't worry about coming in the right way. Instead, just worry about being honest. Worry about being with God with your whole heart. Because when we encounter Jesus, we experience the grace and healing and power of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious Lord and Creator, we just thank you for today. We thank you so much that you are God who chooses to be with us. And God, we acknowledge that in this journey of life, we so often make mistakes. We so often stumble. We so often fall. But we thank you that you continually give us the option to come back to you, that we can continually be a part of your family, that we can be like children running to you. And God, let us honestly give you our whole hearts. Let us honestly be with you and be with your Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. And one of the great opportunities that we have is to come back to God with what we're about ready to do. So you all have your communion elements with you in this little packet. You might remember how this meal was instituted. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, after giving thanks to God, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said to his disciples, "This is my body given for you." In the same way, as the meal was nearing its completion, Jesus took the cup, and after giving thanks to God, he blessed and he poured. And he said to his followers, "This is the cup of a new covenant that has been shed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins." And friends, as we eat this bread and as we drink from this cup, we remember our Lord's death and resurrection until he comes again. So now I would encourage you all to partake of your communion elements of both the bread and the juice. And as you're doing that, we're going to have our worship band play one final song and lead us out here in a very inspiring worship. So, here we go.
Please feel free to stand with us.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. Is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain, there's salvation in your name. hold the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me.
That song, it's just so inspirational, and I love it so much because it reminds us that the hope we have as Christians is not because we have a role model. It's not because we serve some dead martyr. It's because we have a risen Lord. And because he's risen, all the death and decay of life has no claim on us, both in the future and right now. And so as we leave this place, go with that encouragement. Go with the encouragement that we have Jesus, we have God wherever we go. And we also have each other. We have this body. You never have to do the Christian life alone. So remember this. Go now with the power of God the Father, the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, this day and forevermore. Amen.